Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Mazel tov on the remarkable accomplishment of completing Nevi'im Rishonim. That's 6 months of Torat Imecha Nachyomi learning. Join Sarah Malka Winter today, Wednesday, June 26th at noon Eastern, for Melachim Beis, Yirmiyahu's Gift of Hope and Resilience for a Traumatized Nation. Sign up at ouwomen.org/siyum for the link. And in case you missed this presentation or the tour with Rivi Frankel, go to ouwomen.org/video. Sign up for our new Siyum initiative, Siyum Be'iyun, Delve into Nevi'im Rishonim. Sign up at ouwomen.org/iyun-siyum and receive guided learning source sheets provided by all the Torah Imecha Nachyomi Nevi'im Rishonim educators from this cycle. I wish you much continued hatzlacha with your learning, and may we bring Hashem nach nachas, and your learning be a schus for you and your families and our community during these turbulent and challenging times. May Hashem bring peace to our land and world, return the hostages, protect our soldiers, and return our displaced families to their homes. Mazel tov, and now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Melachim Beis, Perek Chaf Hei, Chapter 25. And here we stand at the final chapter of Melachim Beis, the final chapter of Nevi'im Rishonim, and also the final chapter of Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, our last few moments in Yerushalayim. From the outset of our journey, this agonizing destination loomed before us all along. We knew we were headed here, and yet, now that we have arrived, now that we stand here, we yearn to rewind time and avert our arrival. We will read about the four stages of exiles that we commemorate with the four fast days, and we will see on these pages the suffering, the awful reality of our painful departure. But as I read these psukim, I find so much hope and resilience. In what? In just the fact that I am reading these psukim. Because while of course this is so tragic and difficult to face this tearing away of our dream to be the nation of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, let us pause for a moment and recognize that just the fact that thousands of years later, we are still here, connected, alive, learning lessons, is truly a miracle. We are here and we are reading not the story of an ancient nation that lost their homeland and disappeared. We are reading a chapter. Yes, a painful chapter, but a chapter of our own story. If anyone could have told those exiles weeping at the waters of Babylon that their descendants would still be here, so alive and connected, I truly don't think they would have believed us. So yes, we do read it with tears, but also with resilience and awe and gratitude that we are still here. And so it begins, verse 1. Vayihi Bishnas hatishiis lemalcho bechodesh haasiri ba'asor lachodesh ba Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel hu v'chol chelo al Yerushalayim vayachan aleha vayivnu aleha dayek saviv. It was in the 9th year of his, Tzidkiyahu's reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, came, he and his entire army, against Yerushalayim, and encamped near it, built siege towers around it. This is Asara B'Teves. Of course, this is not the first time Yerushalayim was sieged. Often in history, it's only in retrospect that we understand the enormity of events. And then in Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Vatavo ha'ir b'matzor ad ashtei asrei shana la'melech Tzidkiyahu. The city came under siege until the 11th year of King Tzidkiyahu. And verse 3,
ותשלח חודש, ויחזק הרעב בעיר, ולא היה לחם לעם הארץ. On the 9th of the 4th month, the famine in the city became severe, and the people of the land had no food. And verse 4, ותיבקה העיר וכל אנשי המלחמה הלילה דרך שער בין החומוסיים אשר על גן המלך וקסטים על העיר סביב וילך דרך הערבה. The city wall was breached, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between the two walls that was near the king's garden. The kastim were surrounding the city, and Tzidkiyahu went by way of the Arava. This fourth month is Tammuz. The Gemara, Tanis 26, tells us five calamities that occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. Nishtabru haluchos, uvatal hatamid, v'huvka'a ha'ir, v'saraf, apostemos es ha-Torah, v'ha'emid tzelem b'heichal. The luchos were broken by Moshe when he saw the Jews had made the golden calf. The daily offering was nullified by the Roman authorities and was never sacrificed again. The city walls of Yerushalayim were breached. The general Apostemus publicly burnt a Torah scroll, and Menashe had placed an idol in the sanctuary. This, of course, had already occurred in our Sefer. Although both here and in Yirmiyahu, the Pasuk tells us that during the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached not on the 17th day, but on the 9th day. Possibly, it was a process that started on the 9th and continued. And also, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 17th day at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And due to all of these other terrible events, that is the day that was chosen to fast. And so we have reached the second of our four fasts, what is known as Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And in verse 5, Vayirdefu chel kastim achar hamelech, vayasigu oso ba'arvos yericho, v'chol chelo nafotsu me'alav. But the Chaldean troops pursued the king, and they overtook him in the steps of Yericho, as his entire force left him and scattered. Chazal tell us that Tzidkiyahu had a tunnel from his palace that went all the way to the steps of Yericho, and he could have made it to safety, but that was not what Hashem wanted. Hashem made a deer begin to run, and the soldiers chased it. The deer ran right by the opening of the cave just at the moment that Tzidkiyahu was exiting. And so, without even trying, they located him and captured him. And in verse 7, they slaughtered Tzidkiyahu's children before his eyes, and then they blinded Tzidkiyahu and bound him in chains and brought him to Bavel. And verse 8, Uvachodesh hachamishi b'shiv'a lachodesh hishnas tisha'a sre shana lamelech Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel ba Nebuzaradan rav tabachim eved melech Bavel Yerushalayim. In the fifth month, on the 7th of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Bavel, Nebuzaradan came. He was the captain of the guard and the chief killer, servant of the king of Bavel to Yerushalayim. And verse 9, Vayisrof es beis Hashem, ve'es beis hamelech, ve'es kol batei Yerushalayim, ve'es kol beis gadol, saraf ba'esh. He burnt the house of Hashem and the king's house and all the houses of Yerushalayim, and every great house he burnt with fire. This is it. The cataclysmic event, the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There is something so surreal and awful about reading this pasuk. Here, in Malachim Beis, it places the date on the 7th of Av. In Yirmiyahu, it places it on the 10th day. Chazal explain, B'shiv abo nichnesu goyim lehechal, v'achlu, v'shasu, v'kilkalubo, Shmini utshii uvatishii samuch lechashecha heitzisubo es haor v'hayadolik v'holeich ad sof asiri. On the 7th day they entered the Beis HaMikdash, and on the 8th and the 9th they ate and they drank and did disgusting things in our Beis HaMikdash, and on the 9th day, close to dark, They lit it, and it burnt till the end of the 10th day. And on in verse 10, he demolishes the wall of Yerushalayim. And in verse 11, Ve'es yeser ha'am ha'nisharim ba'ir, ve'es ha'noflim asher naflu al melech bavel, ve'es yeser ha'hamon hegla, nevuzaradan rav tabachim. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Bavel with the remnant of the multitude did Nevuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away into exile. This is it. This is the exile of Bavel. Again, we know from Yirmiyahu and Medrash how many Jews this Nebuzaradan murdered, how you cannot walk the streets because of the dead, how they tortured the exiles. And in verses 13 to 17, it describes all the metals, all the vessels, all the copper, gold, and silver that they pillaged and transported to Babylon. How they took apart the Beis HaMikdash and cleaned it out of every treasure, everything that Shlomo HaMelech had carefully and lovingly placed there. Everything that his descendants, Yoash, Chizkiyahu, and Yoshiyahu had replaced there. Now they were all gone. In verses 18 to 21, it describes specific people who are taken to Nebuchadnezzar and killed. But the Gemara Maseches Megillah actually tells us that we learn halacha from this number. There is a question as to the source of calling up three people up to the Torah on a weekday, and five on a holiday, and seven on Shabbos. Where do these numbers come from? One opinion is that it is based on the three sections of Birchas Kohanim, the priestly blessing. The first line has three words, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. The second has five, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chuneka. And the third line, seven, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. So that is one opinion. But the other opinion is that it is based mostly on our psukim here. The three, Kineget Shlosha Shomrei Hasaf, Chamisha Meroei Pnei HaMelech, Shiv'a Roei Pnei HaMelech. These numbers correspond to the three guards of the door in our parak, five of the officers who saw the king's face, also our chapter, and the seven officers who saw the king's face, that is from Megillas Esther. And now, this chapter that already told the story of the siege, the 10th day of Teves, the breaching of the wall on the 17th day of Tammuz, the actual destruction of the temple on Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. Could our story get any more tragic? What more could befall us? Remembering that it is Yirmiyahu the Navi who lived through this nightmare, warned so many times about it, tried perhaps harder than anyone to prevent it. Now recount this last stage, one that could have been prevented had they only listened. This, of course, is the tragic story of Gedaliah. In verse 22, Nebuchadnezzar appointed a man, Gedaliah, the son of Achikath, the son of Shaphan, and left him in charge of the poor, lower-class remnant of Eretz Yisrael. And in verse 24, Gedaliah encourages them. Vayishava lahem Gedaliahu ula anshehem vayomer lahem al tiru me'avdei hakastim shivu ba'aretz ve'ivdu es melech bavel ve'yitav lahem. Gedaliahu swore to them and to their men and said to them, do not fear the servants of the Kastim. Settle in the land, serve the king of Bavel, and it will be well for you. But there was a man, Yishmael ben Netanya. He was part of the royal family, and perhaps he was jealous that they chose Gedaliah, or perhaps he was protesting this policy of cooperation that Gedaliah was practicing. He plotted to kill Gedaliah. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, we will find out that loyal allies to Gedaliah became aware of this plot and actually warned Gedaliah, and he refused to believe them. And so in verse 25, in the seventh month, perhaps in Rosh Hashanah itself, Yishmael and 10 men murdered Gedaliah and the Jews and the Chaldeans who were with him. And in verse 26, the petrified refugees, sure that the Babylonians would blame and punish them, seeing it as a rebellion. After all, this was a Babylonian appointee. Verse 26, Vayakumu kol ha'am mikaton va'ad gadol v'sarei ha'chayalim Vayavou Mitzrayim ki yar'u mipnei kastim. All the people got up, young and old, and the army officers, and came to Egypt because they were afraid of the kastim. But again in Yirmiyahu, where this story is recounted with more details, we learn that they went first to Yirmiyahu and asked him what to do, begging him for guidance, promising that this time they would listen to him, and that he received a prophecy and told them clearly, Hashem said, stay here, that they would be safe here, and that if they would run to Egypt, the sword would actually follow them there and they would die. But once again, they don't trust Yirmiyahu, they don't trust Hashem. And we would think that this would be the tragic ending of Malachim Beis. This book that begins with the building of the Beis HaMikdash now ends with its destruction and exile. But it does not end here. Yirmiyahu decides to add 4 miraculous psukim to his Sefer Malachim and also to his Sefer Yirmiyahu. Verse 27. Vayihi b'shloshim v'sheva shana legalus Yehoyachin melech Yehuda b'shneim asar chodesh b'esrim v'shiv'a lachodesh nasa evil merodach melech Bavel b'shnas malcho es rosh Yehoyachin melech Yehuda mi'beis kela. And it was in the 37th year of the exile of Yehoyachin, king of Yehuda, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil Merodach, the king of Bavel, elevated in the year of his coronation, Yehoyachin, king of Yehuda, and released him from prison. Verse 28, Vayidaber ito tovos, Vayitenes kiso me'al kisei hamlachim asher ito b'Bavel. He spoke kindly to him and placed his throne above the throne of the kings who were with him in Bavel. Verse 29. Vishina es bigdei kil'o v'achal lechem tamid lefanav kol yimei chayav. He changed his prison clothing and he ate meals before him regularly for the rest of his life. Verse 30. Va'aruchaso aruchas tamid nitinalo me'es hamelech dvar yom biyomo kol yimei chayav. His food allowance was a regular allowance given to him from the king each day's need on its day for the rest of his life. Remember King Yehoyachin or Yechaniah? He had been taken into exile and into prison 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe we had kind of forgotten about him. 37 years later, the new king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's son, decides to release him, to clothe him, to feed him. Totally unexpected and miraculous. But Chazal tell us not so unexpected. That the Mishnah, Al tisya'esh min ha-per'anus, do not despair from punishment. Even if you have already begun to be punished, you can always do teshuva. Because that Chazal refers to Yehoyachin, that yes, when he was in Yerushalayim, he was terrible. And the Navi tells us that he would have died, should have died, childless. But in the dungeons of Babylon, he did teshuvah. When the Rambam teaches the halachos of teshuvah, he uses this king, Yechaniah, as an example of what teshuvah can do for us. And once he did that, even while still in jail, the king of Babylon had sent his wife down to him and she actually became pregnant. And now he is saved and he will have a child and then a grandchild. The famous Zerubbabel, who will lead the return to Jerusalem and rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. What a gift Yirmiyahu the Navi leaves us with, allowing us to see that literally from the ashes, the gift of hope, the seeds of our rebuilding are being planted right here in this final chapter of destruction. This has been a difficult journey, a painful and emotional one, yet it has been an important and still hopeful one. And I thank every single one of you for taking it together with me. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.